Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. Please stand for the reading of this passage. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is God's word. Please be seated. And let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that it is useful for teaching us, for rebuking us, for correcting us and training us in righteousness. Lord, your word is more important than any other word or voice that we hear. And I pray that through the preaching of your word that you would open our hearts to hear what you would have to say to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction. Lord, help us to see the truth of these words and how to live and apply them. Lord, change us. Make us more like Jesus for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Rachel and I really enjoy watching a program that comes out once a week. And in this particular program, it's always the same commercial. And it's the commercial for the Viking River Cruise. Anybody familiar with the Viking River Cruise? So it's this big cruise ship, and it goes throughout Europe. And the whole thing, they say, is travel in luxury. Explore the world in luxury. And there's pictures of very happy retirees, mostly, sipping nice wine, eating good food. And it's the imagery is just one of relaxing and leisure and enjoyment. Now, as enjoyable and as wonderful as it would be to go on one of those cruises, the normal Christian life is not one of leisure and relaxation. It's not one of just coasting and cruising. It is one of rest that we find in Christ. But actually, the normal Christian life is one of active effort by God's grace through the Holy Spirit. It's loving God wholeheartedly. It's loving our neighbor sacrificially. It's doing good works, not to save us. We're saved by God's grace, but by his grace, we do good works. And it's one of actively growing in holiness, becoming more and more like Jesus. The imagery that the Bible has for becoming a Christian is one of death to life. You are a spiritual corpse. You didn't want God, and you're going your own way. But God made you alive and brought you to life in Christ. From death to life. That's becoming a Christian. Growing as a Christian is the imagery of clothing. You're alive in Christ, but you have all this filthy, dirty clothes from your old way of living. Blasphemy, sexual impurity, all of these things that of your former life. And growing as a Christian is you're taking off all the filthy old ways and you're putting on the beautiful new ways of Christ. Truth, beauty, goodness, holiness. So growing as a Christian is one of putting off the old ways. It's not who we are anymore. And putting on the new ways of Christ. And that's what we see in our text today. The normal Christian life is one of putting off and putting on. Putting off the old ways of living, who we are not anymore, and putting on the new ways of who we actually are as a new creation in Christ. And that's what we're going to see together today. The normal Christian life is one of putting off and putting on. Now, if you're just joining us today, let's remember the context of Ephesians. So So the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus to strengthen them, to build them up in the faith. And Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 is mainly doctrine. This is who God is. This is what the gospel is. God has made one new creation, Jews and Gentiles coming together, believing the gospel, a new creation saved by grace. Ephesians 4 to 6 is the application. This is how we are to live as Christians. We are called to walk worthy of our calling. We're called to live different than the world. The Christian faith has everyday application to all of the situations that we face. And Paul helps us here. And we've been tracking through it so far, and we've made it to this section, Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. And we see Paul teaches us that the normal Christian life is one of putting off and putting on. And that's what we're going to see together. So let's look at the text. Ephesians 4, 17 to 19 starts out with Paul's instruction to us. And basically what Paul says is, don't live like an unbeliever anymore. Don't live like an unbeliever anymore. Christian, don't live like a non-Christian any longer. Listen to what Paul says. Now this I say and testify. Feel the intensity of the command? I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now when he says no longer walk, he means no longer live. And when he's talking about the Gentiles here, he means unbelieving Gentiles. Gentiles, non-Jews, who have not embraced Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The command from the apostle to the Ephesians and to us is do not live like an unbeliever anymore. You're no longer an unbeliever. You're no longer someone who lived apart from Christ. You're a Christ follower now. No longer live like an unbeliever. It's time to leave behind the old ways of thinking and living and live differently. The Christians in Ephesus lived in the Roman Empire, where it was said that Caesar is Lord. But they were called to embrace Jesus as Lord. And it changed how they viewed themselves, their marriage, their life. And it's the same for us today. As if Jesus is our Lord, we are no longer to live like the world does. Our marriages will look different. Our singleness will look different. How we use our time, our money, our hobbies even, everything is going to look different. Now, there will be overlap, but we live for Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a high school student, and you know what was what every high school student wanted to be? We wanted to be a part of the popular crowd, right? Wanted to be in that popular clique. And there's a set of values. You know, being well-liked by others. Experiencing certain things in romantic relationships. There's all these things that were lifted up. But a Christian high school student is going to be different than a non-Christian high school student. Jesus is Lord. That's going to affect your friendships, the kind of friendships you have. That's going to change how you view romantic relationships. Sex is for marriage, not outside of marriage. It's going to change how you look at your phone and how the things that you look at and the things that you treasure, that God is better than being popular and having all the things of this life. We hear this command from the apostle, no longer live like an unbeliever. Now, the apostle Paul helps us in this text. He helps us see actually what our life outside of Christ was like. He helps us see the futility, the emptiness of a life outside of Christ. And this helps us. Because sometimes we see, like if you're in high school, the popular crowd. You think, oh, if only I was with that group. If only I was experiencing those things, then my heart would be happy. But Paul helps us to see actually that life outside of Christ is empty. It's rotten. It's futile. And he helps us here in verses 17 to 19. No longer walk as the Gentiles do. And hear all the ways that actually it is the unbelieving life. In the futility of their minds. See, the way of thinking, the unbelieving way of thinking, actually is futile in the end. God made our minds and our brains. If we set our mind a against God, or we don't think his thoughts after him, there's a futility in that way of thinking. It doesn't lead to life in the end. And look at the description in 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. The pattern is this. There's a hardness of heart against God. It's a heart that says, I don't want God. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that hardness of heart then leads to an ignorance of God. If your heart is hard against God, then you're not going to be open to hear about who God is. And that leads to an alienation from God. Not a closeness to God, but no desire to be close to him. An estrangement and a darkening of their understanding. Sin makes us stupid. Did you know that? Sin makes us stupid. And we can find that in our own experience, right? When we're falling into sin in some way, it leads to stupidity. It makes us stupid. Paul helps. He continues, verse 19, to paint. This is the true state outside of Christ. They have become callous. That means their heart is hard. I used to teach guitar. And when you learn how to play guitar, you get calluses on your fingers. Because you're pushing down those steel strings and it hurts at first, doesn't it? For those who play guitar. But then you get these calluses and you can start playing those chords and your fingers don't hurt so much anymore. But he's talking about a callousness toward God. This is our state outside of Christ. They become callous and they've given themselves up to sensuality. This is an unrefrained indulgence of every kind. Sexual sin, greed, obsessive idolatry of things of the world. They've given themselves up. They're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. This is the state of anyone outside of Christ. Move forward down to verse 22. Notice also how Paul describes the old self. He says, your former manner of life is corrupt through deceitful desires. Now, one thing I didn't know before I moved to Illinois was there's a lot of Illinois governors that end up in jail. Did you know that? I had no idea. Blagojevich, and there's others. There's a news story talked about is a corruption case of the, I can't remember the last, Madigan, yeah, the corruption case. As a governor, he was supposed to lead well and righteously, but there was some sort of corruption that happened. And we were made to love God and walk in his ways. But because of sin, we were corrupt. That's our old manner of life. It's corrupt, and it's corrupt through deceitful desires. It means that because of sin, we don't want good things. Oftentimes, well, sometimes we might, but even then we want them for bad reasons. But oftentimes, it's that deceitful desire. It's these desires that lead us away from the truth of who God is and who we are meant to be. Coveting somebody, desiring somebody who is not our spouse. Being full of jealousy. Being full of bitterness. These are deceitful desires which lead to our ruin. And this is where we were outside of Christ. Futile thinking, dark and ununderstanding, callous, corrupt. Now maybe you hear that and you say, that's a bit harsh. I know some really nice non-Christians, and I wouldn't describe them that way. Surely every non-Christian isn't that bad. Maybe you're thinking that this morning. And I think the answer is, though not all are expressly wicked in their behavior, Paul is teaching us that actually this is the life outside of Christ. This is the life outside of Christ. It doesn't mean that there's no beauty, goodness, or truth out there. Because of common grace, there is, and we can rejoice in the works and the words of non-Christians and their beautiful things that they bring about. But this actually, God's word does inform us about the true condition of everyone outside of Christ. God's word tells us the truth about reality, and we see this is the rotten, empty condition outside of Christ. Think of your kind neighbor who pays their taxes and walks their dog and serves at Feed My Starving Children, but have rejected Christ. This is their state. See, the Bible helps us see the truth. And I think that actually helps us, because as Christians, we are tempted by the world. We're tempted to go after that, the worldly path. But Paul helps us here. He says, you know, that way is empty. It's rotten. Have you ever picked up an apple and you're really excited about it, about to take a bite, and then you feel it's a bit squishy on the other side? The brownness, there's a rottenness. Ew, right? So you kind of, maybe you're cut off a little bit, but throw it away. It's rotten. And that's our life outside of Christ. Guys, hear the apostles' command. Let's hear it together. No longer live like an unbeliever. Don't live like an unbeliever. If you're a Christian, don't live like an unbeliever anymore. Now, Paul continues here in verses 20 to 21. He helps us see, he helps us remember, when we became Christians, we learned a different way. When you become a Christian, you learned another way to live. Paul says this, but that's not the way that you learn Christ. See, the Ephesian Christians, they believed the gospel. They embraced Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And they were instructed by Paul and the apostles and other Christians how to live differently, how to read their Bibles, how to be holy in their marriages, how to share their faith, how to pray. When the Ephesians became Christians, they learned the gospel, that there is one true God and Jesus Christ is God the Son, that they have sinned against God, and they have no hope in their good works, but Jesus Christ died for sinners and rose again. And if you believe in Christ, you'll be saved. They learn the gospel and they learn how to live as Christians. You know, this reminds us of the importance of discipleship. As when you see a new Christian, come alongside them. Or someone who is even not as mature, come alongside them and help them grow in Christ. We all need encouragement. We need someone to tell us how to follow Christ, how to read our Bibles, how to resist sin through God's grace, how to be wise with our money and decisions, how to embrace our new identity in Christ. And Paul says, you know, you learned a different way. This does assume that you actually are a Christian. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. See, not everybody who hears this is a Christian. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Being in a family where your parents are Christians does not make you a Christian. You have to personally trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to embrace him, have him as your God and King. Are you a Christian? You here today, have you trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed your sins and turned from them? Have you put your only hope in Jesus? If you haven't, we invite you to do that today. Believe on Christ. And you know what? Look at this wonderful little clause here. Verse 22, I'm sorry, 21. As the truth is in Jesus. I really enjoyed thinking about that, meditating on that this week. The truth about reality, about God, about ourselves, is found in Jesus. That is a wonderful, like, truth to lay our heads down like a pillow. You know, we live in a day that some people call it's like a post-truth society. There is so much confusion about what actually is true. Even as, you know, as technology advances with AI, all these kinds of different ways to fake and impersonate different kinds of people, leads a lot of people very skeptical about even knowing the truth at all about anything. Can I trust the news? Can I trust this source? Where do we find truth? We find truth in Jesus. When life gets really hard, when you're praying and praying and praying for something and it doesn't happen, you feel so perplexed, so sad, so overwhelmed. Truth is in Jesus. come to him, rest your head on the pillow of Christ. This is going to strengthen us. And then Paul tells us here, verses 20 to 24, this is the way the Christians are to live. It's the way of putting off and putting on. Now, my kids and I, we have just finished watching a series called Mandalorian, which takes place in the Star Wars galaxy. Now, for those of you who haven't read or, I mean, haven't seen those movies, the Mandalorian are a people group, right, in the Star Wars galaxy. And what's the phrase that they always say?
This is the way.
This is the way. That's the other few Star Wars people. This is the way. So the Jedi say, may the Force be with you. Just kind of like a benediction, a blessing. This is the way. When a Mandalorian will say that, it's a statement of conviction and determination. This is the way. This hard thing I have to do, I'm supposed to do it, and I'm a Mandalorian. This is the way. We will do it. As Christians, we have the way for us as how we grow, how we are to live. This is the way for Christians to live. Verses 22 to 24, the way of putting off and putting on. Guys, this is the way for us. Our daily, normal Christian life is one of putting off and putting on. Listen to what Paul says. It starts off with the putting off. Verse 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. The Christian life is one of putting off the way, the dirty clothes of the old self. I'm putting off taking God's name in vain. I'm putting off my grumbling and complaining. I'm putting off coveting and being jealous. I'm putting off looking at pornography. I'm putting off cheating on my taxes. I'm putting off blowing up in anger and rage. I'm putting off all of those things. It's a daily decision every Christian has to do. It's an active decision. I'm putting off those things. It's not who I am anymore. One illustration is, you know, when a convicted felon leaves jail, they no longer wear their jail clothes, right? They don't want to wear that anymore. They want to put on the new clothes. And as Christians, we do the same. I'm no longer living for myself or the world. I want to live for Jesus. So let's put it off. Put off the old ways. But maybe you're here today and you say, but it's so hard. It's so hard. Do you know what I'm tempted with every day? Sounds easy just to put it off, but I can't do it. And the thing is, guys, God gives us the power through his Spirit. Look at this reference, Romans 8. Romans 8, 13. We are to put off the old ways. Another imagery is put to death what is earthly in us. Because those desires feel so strong, don't they? The desire for sin. It's like, oh, I just really want to say that mean word. I just really want to take that thing I shouldn't. I just really want to look at that thing that I shouldn't. But God gives us the power through his Spirit. Look at Romans 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Putting off or putting to death, we do this through the power of the Spirit. So practically speaking, whatever that sin, the temptation that you face this week, it's really hard. Say, God, I need you to fill me with your Spirit. Help me to put off the old ways through the power of your Spirit. I need your strength, God. I can't do it. I'm going to blow it again. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Help me to put off the grumbling, the complaining, the unbelief, the idolatry. Help me to put it away, God. And he will help you by his Spirit. How is God calling you to put off the ways of the old man? How is God calling you to do that? Look at the next step that Paul gives. We put off, but actually there's an intermediate step before the put on. And that's in verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So we put off the old ways. And the next way we get renewed, the Holy Spirit, that's one way to interpret this, is the Spirit is changing, renewing our minds. We need our minds renewed. to see the truth of who God is. Another reference from Romans to help us. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Paul uses the same language of renewal. Romans 12, 1 to 2, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we need our minds renewed. And guys, this happens as we read God's word. We open up the Bible. We humbly ask God to speak to us, to help us see the truth. And we believe it. And our minds are renewed. Our ways of thinking and feeling change. That bitterness that felt so strong starts to lessen. The power of temptation weakens. We start to have new hopes and new fears. New desires. We see the glory of God again. That He is the King and He is holy. And He loves us. And we get to enjoy Him. Guys, we need this renewal every day. You know, I wake up and I read my Bible in the morning. And most times, 9 out of 10, my heart feels cold. I feel distracted. I want to distract myself. But as I read God's word, there's a renewal that takes place. It's bringing back to the truth. God is God. And He's my God. There's a helpful book that I just read this last week called The Wisdom Pyramid. And he uses this analogy from the food pyramid. You know the food pyramid? There's like this pyramid and there's the healthy food on the bottom. And then other foods, you should eat a lot of the healthy food, but it's like the sugars at the very top. Maybe you should have the least amount of. And regardless of how you feel about the food pyramid, he uses that as an analogy about what we should be taking into our minds and hearts if we want to be wise. That the bottom should be God's word. And then, you know, fellowship with others in the church. These should be the things that are filling our minds and hearts with. Then we fill up with, you know, beauty and good books and good stories. And at the very top should be social media. But he says most of us have it upside down. We fill up our minds and our hearts with social media and entertainment. And it leads us to be unwise. He remarks that, you know, we are in a day and an age where there's more information than ever, more access to information than ever, but we're less wise because we're of these practices. So guys, can I encourage you to get back into the Word of God? If you are already in it, keep going. Let God's Word renew your mind. And you can just pray this when you open your Bible tomorrow morning. Say, God, renew my mind. I need you to renew my mind. I'm not thinking the way I should about my life and these situations. Renew my mind. I need you. And He will do that. He will help you. So we put off. We're renewed. And now we put on. Verse 24. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. The normal Christian life is one of putting on the ways of Christ, a way of holy thinking and living. We look at Jesus and we want to be like Jesus. Here's another reference. Look at this, Colossians 3:12. So I read this with the college students at the college Bible study this week, and we read through the whole book of Colossians together. And actually, one of the students made a comment here about this passage, about how practical it is. Maybe you say, I don't know how to live as a Christian. Well, do this. Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the act of putting on love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, putting on love for my co-workers and my classmates, putting on love for my spouse and my children, putting on kindness, putting on compassion, putting on truth. And this is what the normal Christian life is, to put on these traits. And guys, these are beautiful traits. A heart that is full of kindness and integrity, a life that is like Jesus, is the life that he describes here in verse 24, in true righteousness and holiness. Guys, this is how we are made to be. The old way is the corrupt way. The new way in Christ is the way of true righteousness and holiness. And God invites us into that by his grace. And he empowers us to do that. Guys, how is God calling you to put on the ways of the new man in your setting right now? How is God calling you to put off the old ways, to be renewed in your mind, and to put on the new ways? If you looked at your life today and you did that, how would your finances be different? How would your relationships be different? How would your hopes and dreams be different? I think that this is such a practical passage. I just want to encourage you guys, think about it this week and ask God to help you. Every day, Lord, help me put off the old ways this week. God, renew my mind. Help me put on the new ways. And the Lord, he will help you. This is the normal Christian life, friends. It's one of putting off and putting on. May God give us the grace to live it out. Amen.